Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Moed Katan Daf Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Vav. Before we begin the actual shiur, we glance at the side where we see our topic heading. We should note that we are continuing with the general topic of marking off sites where there was a grave or some corpse-related tumah in order to warn the kohanim or those that are carrying trumos or other things that need to be maintained in purity not to overshadow that particular spot. Through overshadowing, as we've mentioned in the past, overshadowing tumas mace, defilement of the corpse, one will absorb tuma. On the side, we mentioned we have a topic heading, tziyunim al avonim, marks, and the mark is lime or plaster, if you will, some type of white substance that serves as a mark of tumah. So we're going to discuss this, finding the seed. Seed is the lime, or it's a white type of substance. If you will, just to use a borrowed expression, we'll use the term plaster that you find on rocks. Tziyunim al avonim, al even echod, on one stone, al shnei avonim, on two stones. Before we get into the actual Gemara, what we're going to do today, we'll start with the end, so to speak. We're going to look in our margin, where we have some comments, and all of this is based on the text of the Gemara. But since this is a situation that we're generally speaking not familiar with, it's not something that appears in many places in the Shas, it's not something that's common to our daily experience, so in order to get into it a little bit more, let's just discuss the topic through the information that we have on the side of the page. If it initially appears a little abstract or what have you, that's okay. We haven't even learned the Gemara yet. But on the side of the Gemara, we have on the other margin, we have noted, Shnei Avonim Mitsuyonim, two stones that are rather close to one another, and they have plaster on them. One situation will be the Ain Sid Beinayim Aloritz, and there's no plaster on the floor, on the ground between the stones. The Ain Harisha Beinayim, nor is there any plowing that took place between the stones. So what is the story? What's the situation with the area between the stones? Beinayim. The Rabbi Yehuda Tor, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is okay. It's Torah. There's no tumah between the stones. According to a brisa that we'll see in the Gemara, it says it is tomei. Kedei liyashiv Rav Yehuda ma'brisa, in order to resolve Rav Yehuda, who was an Amora and needs to justify his position in the face of a Tanaic source, so we have the following chart. The case of Shnei Avonim, two stones. We have in one column is titled Matzav Hatziyun, the status of the mark, and the second column is entitled Hadin, what is the ruling. So in the first case, Tziyun Rak Agabehen, where there's plaster only on the stones. So then we will apply Rav Yehuda's teaching, Beinehem Tohor, the spot, the area on the floor between the stones is Tohor. Tziyun al gabehen v'gam merude lekan ulekan. A situation where there is plaster on the stones, and it also seems to be spilling spilling down between the stones as well. So here we will say as follows: Nechrash, if the area between them has been plowed, so then the ruling will be Beinehem Tohor. The area between them is considered Tohor. Lo Nechrash, in other words, what that means is that it's probably the plow that scraped the plaster from on top of the stones and made it such that the plaster appears between the stones as well. However, Lo Nechrash, if the area between the stones wasn't plowed, then Beinehem Tomei, the fact that the plaster marking is not only on top of the stones, but also spills down between them, that indicates that the area between the stones is also Tomei. Now, that having been said, let's turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, Motza Even Mitsuyanis. One finds a stone that is marked with the plaster. Tachteh Tomei, underneath it, there is Tuma. Shtayim, found two stones. Im yesh sid beinehem, if there are two stones and there is sid, plaster, between the stones on the floor, beinehem tomei, the area between them is tomei. In other words, the plaster on the floor between the stones indicates that under that spot there is tuma. V'im ein sid beinehem tohor. And if there is no plaster between them, so the area between them is tohor. Beinehem v'afagav deleko choresh. Even though there has been no plowing. V'hotanya, we ask a question. Motso even achas mitsuyenes. One finds a singular stone that's marked. Tachteho tomei, underneath, there is tuma. That's similar to Rav Yehuda. Shtayim, two stones. Im yesh choresh beinehem, if there is plowing, the plow had gone between the two stones. Beinehem tohor, the area between the stones is tohor. V'im lav, beinehem tomei. And if not, so the area between them is tomei, even if there is no sid there. Omar Rav Papa, hocha kishasid shofech al roshein umeruda lekan ulekan. So Rav Papa explains that the case in this brisa that you're saying that beinayim will be tomei is that there is sid on the stones, and it also appears to be spilling appears on the sides of the stones. That's umeruda lekan ulekan. Iika choresh beinehem, if the area between them has been plowed between the stones, beinehem tohor, the area between the stones, the floor between the stones underneath it is considered tohor. The emor machmas choresh hu the iklaf. It's only because the plow was drawn between them that it caused some of the mark, this plaster, the scraped off from the tops to now be plastered on the side. The eloi, if there is no plowing between them, then sid de beini hu v'tomei, then the plaster that appears on the sides of the stones is indicative of tumo being between the stones, and therefore we will rule that area as tomei. And now the Gemara goes into a new discussion. On the side of the Gemara, we also have a Mivneh structural note. The triangle highlights numbers in the Gemara, 1 through 4. However, Mispar, Meitzarim, Shel Sada, these are the different number of borders of a field that are marked. Hametsuyonim. There's an inverted triangle, and it refers to the case of 4, Arba, because up till that point the triangles will be highlighting the numbers 1 through 3. The inverted triangle is 4. That's Arba Meitzara Mitzionim. The four borders of the field are marked. Din Hafuch Mikodmav. You'll see the opposite law that appears there. So we turn back to the Gemara. Omar Avasi, Meitzar, Echod Mitzion, a field that has a border around it, and on one border, generally speaking, in other places in the Shas, when you see the word Meitzar in the context of a field, it's a type of ridge of dirt that runs around the field, a raised ridge of dirt that serves as the border. So, the Meitzar, in this case, one border, is marked with plaster. So we say, Hu tamei v'chol asode kulo tahora. Apparently there's some corpse, tuma, corpse defilement underneath the border, and that's why it is marked. So it is tamei, but the rest of the field is tahor. The same halacha is going to appear now in case of two and three borders as well. Shnayim, if two borders are plastered, so heim tamei v'chol asode kulo tahora, the rest of the field is tahor. Shlosha, Heim Temein, V'chol Asadu Kula Tahora. Arba'a. Four borders of the field are plastered. Heim Tahorin, V'chol Asadu Kula Temea. That indicates that only that which is contained within the area is Tamei, but the borders themselves are Tahor. Diyomar Mar. We were taught earlier, Ein marchikin tziun mimokim tuma. We don't overly distance the mark from where the tuma actually is. Shelo lahafsid es eretz Yisrael. So as to not cause unwanted loss of area in the land of Israel. Now we take a look at Rashi. Ein marchikin tziun mimokim tuma. We don't want to distance the mark from where the tumah actually is. That's why he plastered, he marked the four borders to take kol hasada nitma'a, so as to demonstrate that the whole field is tumah. Plastering only one border wouldn't be sufficient. The ain Marchikin siyun mimokum tumah. We don't want to have the mark far away from where the tumah actually is. So if you only marked off one border, well, that border is close to, if it's a border, the northern side, that's close to the northern side of the field. But what about the southern side of the field? So as a result of this halacha of ein marchikin siyun mimokum tumah, we understand that when it's four borders, when you have four borders that are marked off, it must be that the entire field is tome. The Yoitzin Af Akilin, this is of course a new topic. The Mishnah had mentioned that on Chol HaMoed, the Bezdin appoints people to check out, to make sure that there is no there are no mixed bread plants growing in the fields. Kilayim is where seeds are intermingled of different varieties and planted together, planted in a mixed fashion. The Gemara asks a question. The question concerns the times, the dates of the year. The general topic that we listed on the side under our No Say heading is Yotzin Lako Kilayim B'chol HaMoed. So the Gemara asks a question. It lasts a number of lines. It takes an Tanaic source. It says, V'al Kilayim B'chol HaMoed Nafkinon. Is it so that on Chol HaMoed Nafkinon means we go out to check and destroy mixed growing plants? Is that so? Do we do that on Chol HaMoed V'Raminu? We raise a contradictory Tanaic source. Be'echod ba'ador, on the first of Ador, mashmiyim al hashkolim ve'al akilayim, we announce concerning the upcoming half shekel tax that everyone is expected to pay, and the money should be collected by the first of Nisan. And we also, our mashmiya, we also announce concerning the issue of the mixed bread plants. B'chamisha Asor Bo, on the 15th. And here we want to use our markings. We've used a dashed underline, and it's important to emphasize that B'chamisha Asor is dashed underline, and at the end of the source you see V'yotzen al kilayim is also dashed underline. So that's what we're going to focus on. And on the 15th of Adar, B'chamisha Asor Boi, Koyrnes HaMegillah B'krochim, the Megillah is read in the walled cities, V'yotzen L'kaveitz Es HaDrochim, and people are sent out to remove thorns from the roads, U'lesakin Rochovos, and to fix streets, the Lomud HaMikvos, and to measure mikvah capacity, the Oisin, or mikvah content, the Oisin called Tzorchei Rabim, and we do all public needs, U'metzainin Es HaKvos, and we mark off graves, the Yotzin Al HaKilayim. Of course, this is the only point that we need to emphasize here, on the 15th of Adar, so messengers are sent out by the court to remove mixed bread plants from fields. So that's our question. How can you say that we do that on Chol HaMoed when the Tanaic source here, this other source, says on the 15th of Adar that's done? Reb Elozer of Reb Yossi Bar Chanina. You have two Amoroyim. And they both explain, they resolve these sources, our Mishnah versus this contradictory source. Chad Omar, one of these Amoroyim, says, Kan Bebochir Kan Beofil. There are bochir, early plants, and there are later growing plants. So on Tesvav Adar, the earlier growing plants are already sprouting, and you'll see that they're mixed bread. That's the 15th of Adar. A month later, Cholo Shemoyed, that's in the middle of Pesach, then that's the offer of the later growing plants. The Chad Omar, the other Amora, says, Kan Bizroyim, Kan Biorokois. On the 15th of Adar, so Zroyim, those are grain plants, are already growing, and on the 15th, and Chol HaMoed, that's of Pesach, that's when the vegetables are growing. And so each one has its own time, its own date. Omar Rabbi Yassi, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shano Elo Shein Nitzan Nikr. That which we gave these dates, and you don't go out earlier for removal of kilayim. That's where the sprout hasn't taken place. Where you can't. It's not nikr. It's not recognizable. They're sprouting forth. The Nitzan, the sprouting is not recognizable. Avol Nitzan Nikr, if you have plants that are growing earlier and their sprouting is visible, Yotzin Aleihem, we will go out to abolish them as well. In other words, there's nothing holy per se about these dates. These dates are the practical times for removing the kilayim, as we explained. However, if they're noticeable earlier, so take care of it earlier. The Gemara asks, "Maishna b'chol shemoyed nafkinon." What is unique or special about Chol HaMoed? It's a little bit odd. Chol HaMoed is not a time you would expect to be involved with all types of, we'll say, mundane activities. Even though here, removal of kilayim is a little bit more than the mundane, but Chol HaMoed is a time that people are expected to be with their families, studying Torah. What is all of a sudden during Chol HaMoed we're spending time eliminating kilayim? Omar Rabbi Yankov, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Schar Pu'ula de Moizli Gabon. Because during Chol HaMoed, generally speaking, people are not working. Shops are closed, people are not involved in their crafts, so there's a lot of labor available, and hence if you want to hire someone, you'll be able to hire them for relatively low pay, wages. Schar pula, the payment to workers, mostly gabon, they will lower it, meaning that they are people, and any individual is aware that there's a lot of people available for work, so I'll hire out my services, as they say, supply and demand, when the supply is great, so, and the demand is limited, so the prices will go down. So that's why we're choosing Chol HaMoed. Omer Rav Zvid, Vitemor Rav Misharshia, Shma Mino. We, Rav Zvid, or some say Rav Misharshia, said we can conclude from this, from the fact that we time the kilayim destruction for Chol HaMoed in order to get a cheap price, a cheap wage for workers, that Ki Avinu Luschar, when payment is to be made, Bitrumas Halishka Yavinon Lahu. They are paid from the we'll call it the holy funds, the Beis Hamikdash funds. And that's why it's of utmost importance for us to try to conserve on those funds. They're holy funds, and you don't want to be wasteful with them. If you were to think that it's some type of payment that the public makes, they pay out of pocket for it, for the kilayim removal, my nafka lon minayhu, what difference would it make to us concerning the amount people would have to pay out of pocket? Kol kama devo litein lahu, as much as the workers need or demand, that's how much they should get paid. So that, to emphasize the Beis Hamikdash aspect of things, but since we're dealing with holy funds, they were funds collected and dedicated and sanctified to the Beis Hamikdash, so there we are exceptionally concerned with not spending any extra. In other words, we try to get the lowest rate, and that consideration is so strong that we will have the Kilayim removal taking place on no less than Chol HaMoed itself. The Gemara continues now asking about quantities. V'ad kama, how much is considered mixed growth that would motivate us to go out and remove those plants? So the Gemara answers, Omer of Shmuel bar Yitzhak, Ke'oise Shishoninu, like that which we've taught, and this is a quote from another context, but it gives you a feeling of the ratio of how much unwanted growth would have to be there in order for us to take measures to get rid of it. So he says, as we have been taught, Kol Sa'ah Shiesh Bo. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Rova Zera Mimin Acher Yema'et. And as we said, this source is coming from another topic, but it's pointed out that for every saw is a measure, that you have a quarter of a kav. Now there are six kav in a saw, so this is 1/24. If you're buying seed from a seed vendor, and 1/24 is some variety other than that which you are buying, so then it has to be reduced, and a financial resolution has to take place. In other words, that's an unacceptable level of mixture. The Gemara asks, "V'hat Tanya, but have we not learned Hiskinu Shium of Kirin Kol Hasode Kula, that they made a ruling that if someone allows this amount of mixed growth to take place, so we declare the field unowned, and someone else could come and take over. If you were so lax in allowing mixed growth, mixed breeding of plants to take place in your field, so you lose the right to claim your field as owned. So how do we resolve this source of mafkirin sadakula with that which it said just before, that if you have a 1/24 foreign plant growth in your field, so it is to be reduced? There's a big difference between saying it is to be reduced versus declaring a field unowned. Lo kashya. There isn't any problem here. Kan koidim takona, kan lachar takona. One source is before the rabbinic ruling was made, and the other source, the source declaring the field unowned, is after the rabbinic ruling was instituted. Desanya. When here we have a Tanaic source that gives us the history of this halacha. Barishona hayu oikrin u'mashlichin lifnei behemton. Originally, when fields were discovered to have mixed some plants growing in a mixed fashion, so those plants were uprooted and thrown in front of the animals. Vayubale batim smechim shtei simchis. The owners of those fields were happy for two reasons. There's a double happiness. Achas shemenach shim lohem sodasan. One is that the court, in effect, was effectively weeding out his field. Menachshon has to do with weeding out or thinning out the growth of the field, which is beneficial for the plants that remain behind. The achas, and another benefit, shemashlichim lefnei banfan. Here you have court messengers who are uprooting the kilim, but at the same time they're feeding the animals of the homeowner, of the field owner. So double satisfaction. And if anything, so this is not good, there's not going to be any deterrent from on the part of the law to stop people from planting kilayim. Hiskinu, so they made they instituted another second level of ruling. Shiu oikrin umashlichim al hadrochim, that the court emissaries would uproot the kilayim and not throw it in front of the owner's animals, but throw it on the road. But the original source of joy remains, that their fields are being weeded out. The plants are being thinned out. So that's still, there's not going to be deterrent on the part of the law to stop people from planting kilayim. Therefore, the final stage is skinu sheyu mafkirin kol hasodeh kula. They then rule that if you are found to have kilayim growing in your field at this unacceptable rate of, let's say, 1/24th, we will then declare your field unowned. And now that will certainly motivate people to make sure that they don't have mixed plants growing in their field. The Mishnah. Rabbi Lozer ben Yankov Oimer, Moishchin es hamayim eilon leilon. This halacha we've seen before, you're allowed to draw water from one tree to another. Vachelo yashkez kol hasodeh, provided that you are not watering the entire field. Now the reason or the problem with watering an entire field is we're talking about an area that's called a beis habal. Beis habal is a field that is sufficiently watered through rain. Zroim shelo shosu lifnei hamoyed lo yashkim b'moyed. Plants that were not watered before the holiday, so they weren't accustomed to being watered, don't water them on the holiday, on Chol HaMoed. Lo yashkim b'moyed. V'chachomim matirim bozeh bozeh. Here we have a very lenient approach, a lenient opinion. The Chachomim, we'll discover later, the Chachomim are Rebbe Meir, who says that the whole field, in the case of the trees, and water under one tree, you can draw water over the entire field, not just limited to the next tree. And the second halacha as well, that zroyim that did not receive water before the holiday can be watered on Chol HaMoed itself. Before we continue with the Gemara, let us note the topic heading that we have on the side. Dinei Hashkoas Sodois B'Moed, rules regarding watering of fields during Chol HaMoed. In our Mishnah, we learned that one should not water an entire field, and we noted that the entire field, the rest of the field, other than the area around the trees, was classified as a beis habal, a rain-sufficient field. And hence, you are not allowed to trouble yourself during Chol HaMoed for that purpose. Omar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda comes regarding that which Rabbi Lozer said not to water the entire field. Im hoiso sode mitunenes muter. If the field, even though it's a rain-sufficient field, happened to have been damp, it had received water but dried up, and now it's Chol HaMoed, it's mutter. Rashi explains, Omer Rav Yehuda, Hod Yomer Rav Elazar Avolo Yashke Es Hasodeh Kula, that which Rav Elazar has said that you shall not water the entire field, Avol Im Hois Hasodeh Mutunenes, if it had been that kind of situation, Lechovi Avshe, it was damp but dried up, mutter lahashkoiso, it is allowed to be watered. Afal gav, to have a sona beisabal, even though it's a rain sufficient field, they came to have yolecho ad hashto. But since it had been damp till now, ilo mashkilavi pseido, you say, if you don't water it now, there will be an exceptionally significant large amount of loss. And we know that you're allowed to do activities on Chol HaMoed in order to prevent loss. So Rav Yehuda gives us this leniency regarding the Sode Mitunenes. Tanya Nami Hochi, we continue in the Gemara. Kishamru Asu Lahashkoison B'Moed, regarding that which we had learned, that it's forbidden to water it during the Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days of the holidays. Lo Omru Elo Bizroim Shelo Shosu Milifnei HaMoed. This is true only with regard to seeds or plants that had not been watered before Chol HaMoed. However, plants that had been watered before Chol HaMoed, mutar lahashkoisan b'moed, one is allowed to water them during Chol HaMoed. V'im hoisa soda mitunenes, mutar, if, and this is what we're bringing this bryce in for, to point out that if it had been a field that was damp, or it was watered prior, and now is dried out, so it is mutter. It is allowed to be watered on Chol HaMoed. V'ein marbitzin sode grid b'moed. One is not to water a dry field on Chol HaMoed. V'chachomim matirin bozeh u'bozeh. And the Chachamim allow the case of the Sode Grid and the case of Zroim Shaloshosu Lifnei HaMoyed. The Rashi says, Sode Grid, Yevesha Me'oilom. It was always dry. She'ein Tzorech Lashkosu. There's no pressing need to water it. That's as far as the Tanakama. He said that that is restricted on Chol HaMoed. The Chachamim, though, were lenient. Omar Ravina, Shma Mina, from that which the Chachomim allow, the watering of a Sode Grid, Hai Tarbitza, Shori L'Tarbutzi B'chola D'Moyada. Tarbitza is a garden where vegetables are cultivated. It is Mutter L'Tarbutzi, Rashi says, is to sprinkle a small amount of water on the plants. Rashi says, Shori litarbutzi lizalef, is to sprinkle lizalef olel mayim afagav deleko pseido, even though you're not dealing with an issue of imminent loss. Litarbutzi, that word is lahashkis loshon ein mechabdin vein marbitzin, hainu hashka purta. It's a small amount. Purta means small amount of watering. Kedeshi yetsa yorokas, in order to promote the vegetables to emerge. As will be explained in an upcoming Tanaic source. Umashkin, now in contrast to the word marbitzin, the word mashkin, hainu hashko gmura, that's a full-fledged watering, shel beis hashlochen, of an irrigation field. We continue in the Gemara. Ravina, coming off of the Braisa, where the Chachamim were matir to water the Sode Grid, so he says that a garden, it's mutter to water it lightly, even though there isn't any issue of imminent loss. And now the explanation. Sode Grid mai taima. Why was there allowance for the watering of the Sode Grid? The afla mashvi lo harfa. Plants that otherwise, without the watering, would come out later, they'll now come out earlier. That's the idea behind watering the dry field. It will promote, it'll hasten the growth of the plants. Hochinami, so too with regard to the garden, aflo mashvi lo harfa. The light watering will enable those plants that otherwise would come out later to come out earlier. Tonu Ravonan, Marbitzen Soda Lovon Bishvias Avolo B'moyed. Rashi on Soda Lovon, in the past we've translated this as a grain field. Rashi here says Soda Lovon Beis Habal. It's a field that is rain sufficient. It could very well be a grain field that's rain sufficient. So this kind of field is mutter to water on the Shemitah year, but not during Chol HaMoed. V'hot Tanya, but have we not learned Marbitzin Bein B'moed Bein B'Shvias, and that one is allowed to water it even on Chol HaMoed, which is contrary to the source we just saw. Omer Avuna, Lo Kasha. He resolves the two sources. Ha, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The source that we noted as Aleph is in accordance with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He would be the opinion that says, like we saw in our Mishnah, that you do not water the entire field, the Beis HaBaal. Ha, Rabbanan. The second source that is not restrictive with regard to the Chol HaMoed watering is according to the Rabbanan that were matir, that allowed Bein B'Moed, Bein B'Shvias. It's simply a different opinion. It's a machlokes tanoim. Tanyo idoch. We have another brisa. Marbitzin sadeh lovan erev shvias. One is allowed to water the sadeh lovan, the Beis HaBaal, rain sufficient field erev shvias. Kedeshi it means the time before the Shemitah year sets in. Kedeshi yetsu yerokus b'shvias, in order for the vegetables to come forth on Shemitah. Below, oh, not only that, Elo Shemar Bitzin Sadalovon Bishvias, Kadeshi Yetzi Roko Islamoitsoy Shvias. You can water the Beis HaBaal, this rain sufficient field on Shemitah year, in order to enable the vegetables that are there, even though you're not allowed to plant them on Shvias, but if there are any vegetation that's there on its own, well, it can, its growth will be promoted by watering on Shvias in order for them to emerge Motsoi Shvias. Now Rashi adds, very importantly, Avol, he says, Kadesh Yetsu B'Shvias, however, Avol Lo Yashke B'Shvias Kadesh Yetsu B'Shvias, but you're not allowed to water during the Shemitah year in order for plants to emerge during the Shemitah year. What's noteworthy here is that in the first case of Marbitzin, Sodalov, and Eroshvias, so there you're doing an action during a time period when there isn't absolute agricultural activity restriction. So there it's an issue of time, and in the time that you're doing it is a time of the sixth year, so it's not the year of restriction. In the second part of this source, you're dealing with, although the time is problematic, but nevertheless the vegetation that comes out won't have Kedusha Shvias, it won't have Shvias sanctity, because it's going to only first emerge during the eighth year. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the side on under our topic heading, Tipul b'moyed u'b'shvias b'balei chayim amazikim l'sodos. How one is to deal on Chol HaMoed and on Shvias, on the Shemitah year, with regard to varmints that cause loss or ruin fields. The Mishnah. Tzodin eso ishus veso achaborim misode ha'ilon u'misode ha'lovon. One is allowed to entrap an ishus. The Gemara will explain what that is. It's a type of creature, and achborim is generally translated as mice. So one is allowed to trap them from a grove of trees, and from grain fields in the normal fashion. You don't have to do something unusual. You can do it in the normal way on Chol HaMoed and on Shvias. V'chachomim omrim, the chachomim qualify. Mistei ho'ilon kedarko, mistei ha'lovan shelo kedarko. From a tree field, grove of trees, where the loss would be great from these varmints, so there you don't have to do it in an unusual way. You don't have to, you have a total heter for acting in the normal way. However, where the loss would be minimal, like in the case of a sadeh lovan, the varmints there don't pose a great loss. So there will allow you, provided you do it in an unusual way, in a shinui fashion. Shinui means an unusual way. You find this concept of doing things in an unusual way in order to mitigate the seriousness of the action. Find this in Hilchos Shabbos quite often. Umakrin es apirtza b'moyed. This has to do with sealing a breach. If a breach developed in a wall, so you can seal it up. Uvashvias boine kedarko. Now, there's a difference between makrin as apirtza and boine kedarko. In the case of boine kedarko, means you can build initially a fence on the Shemitah year, even though it looks like you are guarding your fruits, and it's Shemitah year is a year where your fruits have to be available to the public. It's hefker for everyone to come and take, and you're not allowed to prevent the public from taking. So we have a Mishnah that says you're allowed to build a fence on Shemitah year, even though a wrongful impression could be created. Now the Gemara, my issues. What is that creature? Omar Rav Yehuda, Bria She'ein Lo Einayim. It is a creature that doesn't have eyes. It doesn't seem to have eyes, and it digs. It burrows into the ground. Omar Rava Bar Yishmael, the Itemo Rav Yemar Bar Shalmiya, my Kro. What is the pasuk that indicates that it doesn't have eyes? The pasuk says, "Kemo shablu temes yahaloch nefel eshes bal chozu shemesh." Now, in this pasuk, you see eshes, which is like the word ishus, bal chozu shemesh. It doesn't see the sun. The issue of it doesn't have eyes, whether that means it physically doesn't have eyes, or it's a creature that lives in darkness, it's not sighted, or whatever, but the pasuk indicates that it doesn't see the sun. Tonu Rabbanan, Sodin eso ishus vesachaborim misode halovon misode ilon kedarko. One can set up traps for these creatures, whether it be from a grain field or from a tree grove, in the normal way. Umachriven chore nemolim, and you can destroy ant colonies. Ketzad machriven, how do you destroy ant colonies? Rav Shimon Oimer, he has a method. Mevi ofor mechor ze v'nosein lesoch chor ze. You bring dirt from one ant colony and you place it in the other ant colony. The hen chinkim zeze, and they end up strangling one another. The ants end up destroying one another. Rashi says, but they shemerifin es ha'ofar ve'ein makirin ve'osofar. They smell the dirt and they don't recognize it. That causes them to, we'll just say, go berserk. And they end up killing one another. Omar Rav Yemar Bar Shalmiya Mishmei Dabaye. Now Rav Yemar qualifies this, the effectiveness of this method. He says, V'hu Dekoi Betray Avrei Nahara. In order for us to be able to ascertain that they don't recognize the dirt, it would have to be dirt that comes from the other side of a river. Since there's a water block between them, they will not recognize it. V'hu Deleko Gishra. Now, the fact that there's a body of water between them, that's an effective block and creates lack of recognition, provided there is no bridge between the two sides of the river. Vudaleko Gamlo, Vudaleko Matzro. Gamlo is a narrow bridge, it's a singular board, and a Matzro is, technically speaking, it's a rope, but it's something that's even narrower than a Gamlo, that you can cross the river only by holding on a rope suspended overhead. whatever the case is, there is no means of crossing this body of water, so then the bringing of the dirt from one side of the river to the other, and using that to fill the ant colony will be effective. Ad kamo, the Gemara at the top of Zayin Omer Aleph says ad kamo. Rashi on the top says ad kamo ruchokim hani trei chorin molim. How far apart from one another will these two ant colonies be? Dechiika nara binayu veleko gishra. And when there is a river between the and no bridge, the ain makirim hani b'chori dahani. So there's an additional factor, and that it would mean they won't recognize ad parsa. Rashi says ad parsa e leko parsa. Parsa is a distance. It's about approximately 4 kilometers, because each parsa is made of 4 mil. A mil is 2,000 amas. One amo is half a kilometer, so half a meter approximately. So we're talking about a distance of approximately 4 kilometers. Because if there that distance is lacking, Rashi says, Ileko parsa binayu afagav de ikonaro of Ileko maver makirin hani b'chori dahani. The ants, incredibly so, will sense, they will recognize the dirt, and they will not be confounded by the strange dirt if that distance is lacking. Before we conclude today's shiur, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.